Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Hey, pardon me. Pardon me as in, like, I'm going to do something bad, but, like, don't hold me accountable for it and just let me go.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie. How you doing, man?
The English language is stupid. The fact that pardon means that many things. We have several different kinds of bats.
That could be a whole Bless Their Hearts episode.
It should be. We need to clarify some things, but pardons are certainly on the tip of everyone's tongue, I believe, due to some the presidential pardons recently. But here in Kentucky, we had a slew back in the day.
Yeah, we did. And that all started, well, I guess the most recent slew of them was Governor Matt Bevin. And when he exited office to make way for the new governor, Andy Beshear, he pardoned a lot of people.
Oprah style.
I mean, he was a Republican governor, and even a lot of Republicans came out afterwards and said that was not okay.
Yeah, it was very controversial for sure. So I assume we're going to talk about one of those today?
We're going to highlight one of them because it was very controversial, so much so that the federal government had to get involved. So today we're going to be talking about Patrick Baker. He was a convicted felon whose case really gained significant attention due to his pardon by Matt Bevin. And we're going to go through the details of his case, but this was started back in 2014. On May 9th, 2014, Patrick and two accomplices broke into the home of a 29-year-old man named Donald Mills. Donald was a man who was living in Knox County, Kentucky, and he was at home with his pregnant wife and their children when the armed intruders forced their way into their home.
Baker, who was dressed as a U.S. Marshal, was the ringleader of this whole operation and home invasion. The group's intent was robbery, as they believed that Mills had drugs and cash inside of the home. But during this crime, Baker ended up holding the family at gunpoint, ransacking the entire house, trying to look for more valuables, and he ultimately shot Mills in the chest, killing him in front of his family.
So they left the scene and left Mills's wife and children completely traumatized. So he was finally arrested and charged with murder, first-degree robbery, tampering with evidence, and impersonating an officer. Because remember, he was dressed as, what was it you said, a U.S. Marshal?
Yeah, that's not okay.
A few years later, he was tried and convicted of reckless homicide. That was in 2017, and that was actually a lesser charge than murder, and he was also convicted of robbery, and he was sentenced to receive 19 years in prison.
Yeah, in Kentucky, we don't have first-degree murder. We have capital murder, or we have a murder charge, and then it goes down to reckless homicide and manslaughter and those kinds of things, but let's go to December of 2019, just days before he left office. Governor Matt Bevin issued a full pardon for Baker, allowing him to walk completely free. And this was controversial for a few reasons. What are those, John?
Well, number one, his family had deep political connections.
Baker's family, right?
Right. His brother and sister-in-law actually held a fundraiser for Matt Bevin in order to help with his reelection campaign in 2018, and they donated $21,500 to his campaign. Can you see maybe a conflict of interest there?
A big $21,000 one for sure.
The pardon appeared very politically motivated. Critics accused Bevin of granting clemency based on donations rather than evidence. Baker was the only one pardoned in the case. So you remember he had two accomplices. They did not get pardoned, and his co-defendants remain convicted and incarcerated.
Yeah, how do you let the ringleader out, but not the lesser members, not the ones that didn't pull the trigger? Bevin defended his decision, arguing that Baker's conviction was flawed legally with the process, and he provided nothing to support that claim, though. Now, this is when the feds got involved. He was pardoned for state crimes, but federal authorities stepped in to prosecute him for the same crime under federal law, which in America, we have this double jeopardy law. You can't be tried twice for the same things. Federal law and state law are different. So technically you can, but it's very rarely done. So in 2021, Baker was indicted on federal charges of murder during a drug trafficking crime.
That is outstanding that it happened this way. I hate that it even had to, but I'm glad that they saw this and decided to act on it. So during this trial, prosecutors presented overwhelming evidence. This included eyewitness testimony from Mills' wife. Remember, she and her children were at home and witnessed this whole thing. There were also phone records that linked Baker to the crime and forensic evidence connecting him to the murder.
In August of 2021, Baker was convicted of a federal murder charge and sentenced in 2022 to 42 years in federal prison, ensuring that he remained behind bars despite Bevin's pardon. And that's more than twice as long as his original sentence, which is fitting.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine being this guy thinking that you are out scot-free and thank you, Matt Bevin, and then now it's worse, double time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bevin's pardon of Baker became one of the most criticized acts of his governorship. And man, there are a few others that I could point
out.
There are
plenty to in contention, I'll say that.
And I'm not being political, but like whatever side of the spectrum you fall on, if you did some of the things he did, I'm not going to agree with it. The controversy contributed to intense scrutiny over Bevin's pardons. Some of these involved violent offenders. Some of these involved people who had just been convicted like within a year of significant child molestation and rape. The FBI even launched an investigation into some of his clemency decisions, but there have not been any other charges filed and none filed against Bevin himself. I do think, and I was going to ask you this as we close up today, if you recklessly pardon someone despite evidence and you don't bring new evidence suggesting the old evidence is flawed in some way, shouldn't you be held accountable in some way?
I think you should be held accountable for their future crimes, for sure. I mean, if they go back on trial and are convicted, I don't know that. I don't like the fact that we're pardoning people, which means they had no other way to get out. So you're just saying, you can get out. Like, that seems kind of antithetical to our justice system anyway.
To know everything that's involved in the legal steps to get to that conviction, it is a slap in the face to every step along the way.
Not only the steps, but the victims and their families, those that were hurt in this process. It's so different from everything else in our system that I don't get it.
Agreed.
But we did dabble into or end up in the middle of a conversation about another one of Bevin's pardons on Wednesday in our interview with London Governor Mayor Randall Weddle. And that is
did not expect for the conversation to take the turn that it did. And I'm excited to hear what you all have to think about that conversation.
Yeah. So that ties into this in that way. Go check that out now. It's available on all your podcast feeds. But for now, this has been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.